welcome to September's Two Peas in a Podcast. We're sitting here on quite a lovely balmy evening.
Yeah, it's notable because we haven't had many. It's been raining and being cold all the time.
It's been awful. I went on a gorgeous walk. Today is actually the day of mourning for the Queen. But less said about that, the better. But I just appreciated a day off. But I went for a gorgeous walk and the river in Gawler is flowing and the birds are out. And it was actually really a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And I guess getting ready for October, which is a bird count month.
Yeah, I remember at the Bird Life Australia and they make it a big do. I like it. Because you sit by yourself and you count these birds. I count about 20. But I had a word with one of the BirdLife Australia people and they can identify by sound. So they go into a forest and they identify 100 birds in 20 minutes.
I was horrified when I did it last because I thought I knew quite a few birds and I sat in my backyard and suddenly realised that I knew none. I was quite horrified that I was like, I think I know 3 birds. So
yeah. It is practice. And it's a very good cause because in birds are everyone's favourite. So.
And it's actually encouraged me to go ahead with it. And before we talk about today, this month's plant, let's talk about tomatoes and our fantastic tomato fundraiser, which we've already sold 15 boxes of the tomatoes. So if you go on the Gawler Broadcasting Association webpage or Facebook, so there's still some boxes that we are encouraging others to order. We've only got about 5 or 6 left, so please ring in.
Yeah, it's very interesting actually that this time the ones that did well last year have not done well, and I don't know why, but
it's nature, Trevor.
Yeah, well, it probably is, but inexplicable. But last year we had those Black cream from Ukraine going like crazy. But this year, it's the one that was popular the year before, the Romas. So everyone the year before wanted Romas, and now we got them. And they're coming fast and furious, and if you want an extra Roma, we can sell it to you because they're big.
When I dropped off 3 boxes to somebody at work, and I sort of said to them, look, you know, the Romas and this and this, and you know what they said, which I thought was actually utterly delightful?
What?
They said, this is why we get the tomatoes from you, because we know they're organic. They're not hothoused. We don't want the... And I thought, actually, that's a really great way of looking at it.
You know that
they're following the kind of the idea of nature. And so, yeah, so if you want any, go on the Facebook page or Google and then send some information.
They're a bit behind schedule, but so are most people because the garden's been cold and wet.
Put my veggies in, and then I felt like sewing little blankets for all of them. They're not dying, but they're not doing anything. So I'm actually at the stage where I'm like, thank you, as long as you don't all die, you can all sit there. But the poor little things are frozen as,
So we're going to have a late year, and it looks like the one that's a non-climber, the Roma, is going to be the star, but I wouldn't put money on it.
No.
I've got no idea what's going to happen, really.
Which is the beauty of nature and why we love it.
Why you keep interested in gardening is that forever it changes and no 2 years are the same.
Keep you on your feet.
Now, we've started a new feature here. It's the plant of the podcast. And I've gone for Artemisia. Now, Artemisia is very, very ancient and it's a blue plant.
Yeah.
So you don't often see blue, but you've actually got it too, I know.
I know. And it's
everyone's
huge,
got it.
Yeah.
It is good to have blue because that contrasts well with yellow, red, green, all the rest of them. But also the thing about Artemisia is that it's worldwide. It's in every continent and Australia's got 3 of them and every continent's got some. So it is a native plant and it is an exotic plant. The normal one is arborescens, tree wormwood. That's probably what you got. I think it's a dwarf. The nice thing about it is that it's drought tolerant, frost hardy, wind resistant and salt tolerant. And it's often found in coastal areas and it grow between 2 metres and 1 point high, 2 metres high and 1.5 metres wide. And it's often used as an edging plant, but it is extremely tough. So if you are looking for a tough plant that is indigenous as well as being worldwide, well, then the Artemisia is it. There's over 600 of them worldwide.
Yeah, which I actually didn't realise. I thought, oh.
And one of them is Dracunculus, which is tarragon. And they're very close to the sage family too. So all these herbs have got something in common, in that sage too is like the sage, is almost indestructible, you know. And the wormwood is known not just because it will worm everything, but mites can't get near it. It is very powerful, smelly plant.
To put it near the chook shed.
Yeah.
And I use it when I chop it back, and then you mulch it, chop it up, and then I put that in the chook shed.
That's exactly
what
I do.
And through their nesting box and everything, and then it kind of smells nice too, because the chook shed can get a bit...
It smells a lot better than...
Whiffy quickly. It's like, it is...
Yes.
It is lovely. And tarragon, I planted tarragon, and it's like, it is one of those ones you never get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, that's the yellow one out the front, Trevor. You know those big bushes out there? It goes crazy. And you put tarragon in vinegar, like plain vinegar, and you have tarragon vinegar. But that's another one. It goes crazy. It doesn't need a lot of attention.
Actually, I've never really been that successful with tarragon, so you went up on me there. And it's also called common mugwort, if it's the vulgaris. Is that his name, the magician guy who did films? Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do.
Do I?
But, yeah.
We'll think about halfway through.
Well, common mugwort was used.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's well known throughout the world, although it is sort of backstage, you know?
Yeah.
It's invisible, but it's there all the same. So, because I'm a person who's probably a bit socialist inclined, I've gone for the one that's invisible, but does its job all the same.
Well, my favourite of the month, and my favourite of all the months, actually, and I was a bit devastated, wasn't I, Trevor? Because when Trevor and Anita came round the other day, I was very excited to show this plant off to Trevor as my arch, and then we've had such windy, rainy weather, all the flowers blew off, but Hardenbergia.
Yeah, I have had it. It is a very strong plant.
It is a strong plant. I mean, the flowers blew off. It was absolutely gorgeous. So I've got it in the back as a ground cover.
Yep.
It's in a space that we don't use much, but it actually is just covering a beautiful area near where we've got some water and things like that, so it's a nice area that, you know, frogs and lizards can hide in. It gives some colour quite early, late in winter and early in the season, so it is a bit of nice. And then I've got an arch out the front, which is going great guns. It was a little bit slow at first, and then I just put a whole bunch of compost fertiliser on it, and it just went, thank you very much. It's actually growing in a pot. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's actually sort of in a pot squirreled away. And you can't sort of see it, and it's still doing really, really well. So it's actually a great plant to put in a pot. So it's tiny little purple flowers. I remember growing up with it, so I have a real soft spot for it, because I remember growing up with it and it covered our whole shed. And I just remember the whole shed being covered with this, and I love, love, loved it. So that's another really good one to plant. That's really hardy and attracts bees.
Yeah, well, purple. Purple's a good colour for attracting bee, and I didn't mention about Artemisia in that a lot of the Lepidoptera, which are the butterflies and moths, are actually feeding on the Artemisia. So, we are giving you plants that will give you life in the garden, because purple is the colour that attracts a lot of the bees and butterflies and moths.
It certainly does. It certainly does. So what else are we talking about this evening, I should say?
This is planting season, and you can go mad, depending on how big your place is. I mean, I got a fairly big place, so it's almost impossible to do in a sitting, although when I was younger, I probably could have. But you have to get your tempo right. It's like playing a game of sport. You really have to dictate the pace of the sport, you know. So I think if you are like me and you've got a lot of work in front of you, well, then you should really pick out one crop at a time. Now, I don't care what that crop is. It can be corn or potatoes. It could be zucchini or cucumber. It could be, you know, capsicum and eggplant. It doesn't matter. But what you got to do, if you haven't done it already, is prepare the land properly. Now, I notice that what I've done is I've weeded the place entirely with my rake and my hoe and my hands. And then I put down pellets, and then I put down homemade compost, and then I put down cow manure on top, and I left it for 2 weeks. And would you like to guess what happened? I'll tell you, it's a principle we've mentioned before, and that is there's no such thing as soil.
No.
It's only weed seed that looks like soil. Because what happens after 2 weeks is all these weeds come up, and they're only tiny, but they look dangerous, and they are dangerous. So if you prepare your soil, well, then leave it for 2 weeks. because you'll see the onset of weeds. And some of them aren't weeds. Some of them are actually self-sown plants that you really want to keep. But it is best before you plant anything to actually give your soil a couple of weeks to blend in with the other soil. Because what you're doing is you're not digging anything these days. These days you're just top dressing. And that brings all the microorganisms out, all the worms come to the surface, all of them have a feast and take it down into the soil, and it mixes because of the life in the soil, because we're organic gardeners, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, do that first. I mean, the idea that you have to spend a lot of time planting is nonsense, because all you do then is put in a hoe, use a hoe to make a row, and drop your seeds in or put your seedlings in, because that's not a big job. But the big job is preparing the soil.
The big job is preparing the soil. So I had my bokashi mix. So as you know, I've got bokashi buckets. I've got a much, much smaller property than Trevor's, but still work. Thank goodness Trevor and I like the more wild gardening look. I've got a veggie patch in one spot. It won't be there next year, but I planted my bokashi bucket mix in there, and I probably did that about 6 weeks ago underneath where I was going to plant the strawberries. So the same thing, covered that up. Whole bunch of rotted chook manure, whole bunch of manure, left that for, I probably left it for a bit longer than 2 weeks, but only because I just didn't get around to it.
Well, that's all right, though.
Yep, hoed it all over, but I did the wrong thing, Trevor, where I was so excited a few weekends ago that it was beautiful weather that I got really enthusiastic and planted my whole veggie garden.
Oh, that's all right.
And really suffered that week. Like I probably, they were cold. And I, as you were saying, that tempo in the garden, and I thought, you know, I have to recognise I'm not 30 anymore. And I was so excited that the weather wasn't freezing that I probably spent about 9 hours over 2 days in the garden, which is a lot. And as I said, I'm not 30 anymore. And I woke up, I didn't think we got to Monday. I think we went to go, you, Nita, and myself went to go and see a band on Sunday night, and I was already suffering then, wasn't I? I had really done a number on my back. So there's that enthusiasm, but I really want to agree with what Trevor's saying. Plan it out a little bit, because you actually still are meant to enjoy it.
Yeah, and look, it's the same with me. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you can probably, no matter what your age or level of fitness, you probably can never do what you dream that you can do. So it's probably best, because you've got, I mean, October's fine for planting, November's fine for planting.
Yeah.
You've got quite a long while to put in all those summer plants, and there are a lot.
Yeah, and it's a nice little thing. Like, if you set aside like an hour or so a weekend, that's enough to kind of keeping on top of your planting and stuff like that. And planting seed, you know, doing like you've got here one bed at a time and doing it well, rather than kind of this, I've got to get it all done and
because you won't get good results unless you, each year you put in some form of fertiliser.
Yeah, and the rain has been fabulous, I must admit.
Oh, yeah, well, everything's growing.
Yeah.
And well, everything that likes the cold is growing. I mean, amazing. I took cuttings of a fig tree that had actually shoots coming out of it. I put them in and they come up, and I took cuttings of an Artemisia tree. There's actually a type of Artemisia that grows quite tall, 2 meters, and that's doing well. And I took grapevine and I just took cuttings of the grapevine as I was pruning it. Oh, that's doing well too. So it's hard to lose things when it's cold and damp, because they don't grow quickly, but then on the other hand they don't get leveled out by the stinking heat, you know.
So, well, all mine, nothing's died.
Yeah.
It's just that nothing's particularly thrived, but I've got some seeds coming up, and I said to Trevor earlier, I feel like running out and wrapping them in little blankies when it instantly became cold. But then today was beautiful. Yesterday was warm. Yeah. And I can already see them kind of invigorating a little bit. And remember, though, they're a bit spoilt for water. That's the only thing I found. Like today I did actually water the veggie patch for about 10 minutes because I thought, it's used to water. It's a bit spoilt for water.
Yeah, well, I mean, I planted carrots already. I'm going to plant beet and lettuce after them. When I go into the soil, yes, I rake it out. Yes, I hoe it to get rid of any small weeds that are coming up. And then I trench it. And then I put my seeds in, because both those are planted with seed. And then I put what's Koya seed raising mix that you can buy in a biscuit or cake, whatever it's called. I put that on top, and then I whack it with the back of the rake and get a very, although everything's nicely aerated, I then whack it down in order to get a good contact between the coir seed raising mix and the seed, and then I water it to collapse any air pockets. So you do have to do that. I mean, it's probably written in every textbook, but everyone forgets it. You know?
Do forget it, and everyone gets a bit precious with their seeds, but in actual fact, they're quite hardy.
Well, in this weather, they are. So we will strike heat. But just at present, there's no heat, and that's bad because I've actually got bloody weeds everywhere. My wife and I are doing lop and drop, and we're doing it to such an enormous extent, you know, that it's hard to believe that the soil will ever be able to absorb these layers of weeds that are dumped everywhere. So everywhere you look at our place, what we decided is, yeah, we're building compost still, but it was just quicker to just lop and drop. And it's so wet, the soil, that you can pull up stinging nettle, marshmallow. You can pull up a whole series of deep-rooted weeds with just one hand. So it is a good time to lop and drop. So
and that's what we're doing. That's what I did find last weekend is I love stinging nettles, but I had a lot. It's very satisfying clearing the stinging nettles, and I did the same thing. I've got a fantastic pile of them out the back, and I'll kind of mulch them up and chop them up a little bit, and I've got some in a bucket as well. But, yeah, don't get too precious about getting rid of it because it's a great way to stop further weeds and seeds and all that sort of thing coming. And the other thing is I remember this really great gardening tip where one of the hosts was saying sometimes you fall into the trap as well when you put your seeds in or your seedlings in and you think, oh, it's going to rain tonight. And so you don't water them in. And they were saying, always water them in. Yeah. Always, always, always. So when you do a small bit, I sort of planted, I did some basil seeds and some carrots as well. I watered them in before I did any other planting. And then, it poured with rain for the next 2 days. Mm. But I've noticed the seeds are coming up a lot quicker. So always water in.
The biggest danger is they do get just sort of overwhelmed by the cold and stuff.
Yeah.
If you're doing seedlings, and, you know, seedlings are for sale now in all the shops.
But don't buy tomatoes, buy them off us.
Well, I don't know how many tomatoes are average. I plant about 20 of them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of varieties, and so you are allowed to buy. You don't have to buy exclusively from us. As long as you buy from us, you can buy others as well.
To add to your collection.
Yeah, and remember that tomatoes, when you get them, you take off those two first leaves, the cotyledons, and you plant them right down to that level.
Yeah.
Because anything that is spindly and leggy, you can plant deeper in the soil. Now, normally you have to put it in the soil at the same level as you find it in the pot that you buy. But in the case of tomatoes and some other things too, its companions, the peppers, the capsicums and the eggplant can also be planted lower.
Yeah.
And the pumpkins and the brassicas can also be planted lower. So there are quite a few that you can plant lower. It's a matter of getting to know which ones.
Yeah, I made the mistake of not planting an eggplant low enough. Yeah. And then they thrived, but they actually fell over.
Yeah.
I was hilling them up, but it didn't matter.
There are people out there who've got beautiful lawns at the moment every week. The best way of handling those lawn clippings is to mulch your garden with them.
Absolutely.
Because there it combines with the garden. And it's true that there's nitrogen drawdown when you do that, so you might find your plants turning yellow, but more often than not, there's enough fertility in the soil to easily handle that. And we're finding that it's no longer necessary to fertilise plants. So, and yes, we do put on our compost and manures and pellets and so forth, but there are plants like broad beans, which are growing now, actually. I'm beginning to pick broad beans, but there are plants like broad beans that have these nodules on their roots. There's a whole science, a microscopic science, of what happens in the soil. And those nodules on the roots of the broad beans are actually full of life. They're full of creatures that then spread out, and they take what the plant offers, which is proteins and carbohydrates and sugars, not proteins so much, sugars and carbohydrates, and they get back in return from all these creatures that take the sugars and carbohydrates off them. They get back the minerals and so forth, and that gives you your taste. So you can use broad beans, and they're growing now. If you put them in, well, you're lucky, you're good. You know something about it, because broad beans are now about 3 foot high and are producing and flowering everywhere, and they're excellent if you pick them young when the beans are still green.
Don't leave them too big. That's where everyone goes wrong. And also, I had a friend who would pick them, and you know the outside shell, toss them in olive oil and salt and put them on a griddle. Delicious. Like the, just the husks, sorry. Use the husks, not the broad bean themselves.
Okay.
The husk.
Yeah, well,
and have them at it as like a chip. Fantastic. Like, they were delicious. They brought them into work. They were so nice. Well, but you've got to pick them small.
Yeah, I mean, they are beautiful. They're probably one of the best because they outgrow weeds and they're very bulky. You can actually, at the end of the season, work, wait until the beans... I mean, you've got a long time to go. You've got probably 3 months to go. Well, perhaps not three, but 2 months to go of picking them and enjoying them and using them as a high-protein input into your diet. But when the beans do mature and there's these big pods with big bulges in them, they'll turn brown eventually and save next year's seed because the packets you get are useless. They've only got about 20 or so seed. What you need is several hundred.
Because
that's a very good plant for fertilising your ground. And you can just mow it afterwards, actually.
Oh, yeah, and chop it down.
What's happening now? Well, we're picking peas, strawberries and asparagus. My God, they're delicious.
Yeah.
Parsley and fennel have gone to seed, but surprisingly, if you pulled out your old parsley, they're actually still growing. So
I've got beautiful parsley in a pot.
Like the curly leaf?
Yeah, did you just see that when you came in, the curly leaf one? Yeah, a massive pot. It's just fantastic.
It's amazing how you never really know what's going to happen next.
That's been there for like a year.
I got silver beet and beetroot, and also I got turnip leaf.
Oh.
Which is turnip greens, apparently. Well known, but I never knew about them.
No.
But anyway, if you have got beetroot, beetroot is one that's not used much in cooking. It's really good for hamburgers and egg burgers and veggie burgers and so on.
Grate it raw into a salad. Beautiful. Chuck it in a smoothie or a juicer.
It's a fabulous drink.
Yeah, absolutely delicious.
And everything's flowering now too. Yeah. I mean, I got to prune my what's it called? I got to take the flowers off my wall.
Oh, deadheading.
Irises, poppies, pelargoniums, lavender, salvia, sweet peas. Now, I am beginning to get quite a lot of sweet peas.
Oh, good, good.
They're actually well worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they smell absolutely divine.
Mm.
Divine, divine, divine.
Okay.
And, okay, what are we planting? We've got to plant more of.
Well, I think next week we can look at, in particular, when I say particular, there's a few of them, tomatoes, zucchinis, corn, sunflowers.
Oh, you've got to have sunflowers.
You've got to have sunflowers.
Be
cucumber,
free and
basil,
wild.
Pumpkin and melons. So pumpkins are a big crop. They're probably underestimated because you can actually get a massive amount of food from them.
One of my pumpkins this year grew through my fruit trees. Like it managed, I used the fruit tree as this lovely sort of staple thing. We only got a few pumpkins off it. It was delightful, like, you know what, the pumpkin flowers. You don't need 50 billion pumpkins over the year, but the pumpkin flowers and...
What you stuff them, do you?
Yeah, and just fry them slightly. Yum. Mm. Look at them. Beautiful. And also pumpkins are brilliant for covering a spot. Like if you want to get rid of a bunch of weeds or whatever, grow pumpkins. They smother out everything.
They do cover a lot of territory. They're not really good for a small garden, but good for a big garden. And also fig trees. I've got just a massive number of fig trees if anyone wants some. I have actually given you some of the world's best eggs because I know this. I know
fabulous, you know this?
Because of the six crows that are eating. And fig trees are a bit the same. There's 100 or so sulfur-crested cockatoos that agree with Nita that the figs are the world's best.
The figs are fantastic. My son will eat figs until he gives himself hives.
Yeah, and I've also been successful with grapevine cutting, so these purple table grapes. So there's a lot of things happening in the garden at present.
As always.
A lot of things to eat, a lot of things to plant, and...
But more importantly, Trevor, a lot of things to sit and look at and contemplate.
I wasn't going to
tell
you that.
When you've done your backing and you need to just enjoy, enjoy the fruits of your labour.
Find yourself a hiding place that no one can find and go to sleep.
Curl up and go to sleep under the tree. All right. Well, as the evening is drawing to a bit of a close, it's probably time we had a glass of wine and further contemplated what we will talk about next month. What do you reckon, Trevor?
Well, I think I think we'll thank the Queen for the holiday today.
I think we will. And we'll all talk to you next month. So it's goodbye from Michelle.
And goodbye from Trevor.